Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I really like the concept of wet fries when they take gravy and put it on the French fries and I just dump it on. You know, I don't do you individually do this?
Well, I'm thinking of Ben's Chili Bowl at this point. Now I'm really getting hungry.
Yeah.
Because they put the cheese.
By the way, attacking my son, considering you went to a private 4-year liberal arts school and sent your children to the same places, and your daughter, in fact, University of Pennsylvania, and just ask her if she says pant. Just ask.
Oh,
her.
Meredith, a pant. She says it in French, I believe. Yes.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser.
All righty then. We are live. You're hearing it plausibly live. We're at Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest, about a block and a half inside the line at the capital of the United States of America, where we are open for breakfast today. Gary Braun is with us. Chris Saliza is with us. Michael Kornheiser is with us. Nigel will run the board and do the news. Celebrity intern Matt Williamson has many tasks to do. And we will have Steve Sands on in a little while. I just want to begin with telling you, in terms of scheduling, we're not going to do the show tomorrow. We're not doing the show Friday. We're back on Monday. We have shows Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week. And this Sunday is Father's Day, so we wish everybody out there who qualifies, and even those who don't, a happy Father's Day. And Michael, we have this one last day live to do the Johnny O stuff.
That was the weirdest way to introduce Father's Day. Those who qualify. It's like it's the U.S. Open of
right.
Parenthood.
Those of you
did you
who
make
made
the cut?
Yeah. Those who got through sectionals.
If you make the cut, you can try out the Dr. Tony code, which will still be live, I think, until Monday after Father's Day.
Okay.
So check it out. You can find the link on our website and also through our Twitter. And there is a bunch of great offerings. We recommend some of the golf clothes. I'm not going to go into pants versus shorts on this particular
short
show.
Short and pants.
For those be a Marin pants.
Short and pants.
Right.
By the way, it should be pointed out, I attempted to qualify but failed many times for Father's Day.
Okay.
But it was fun.
True.
It was fun failure.
Yeah.
Am I Michael and I are wearing Johnny O today. I like to have more than one person.
I'm donning
as always.
The Zorro Bakery t-shirt.
Wearing, in honor of the U.S. Open, I'm wearing my Aaron Hills shirt that I bought while at Aaron Hills last year. But let us go to Johnny O.
So, yes, the Dr. Tony code is
Tony.
Is still up and live. So check that out and do your best to try and help us beat that other sports and recreation podcast that is climbing the charts.
Fantastic. Okay, so there are two big stories that we need to talk about first. One involves the horrific shooting yesterday in Alexandria at a baseball field of a variety of people, including the Republican whip, Steve Scalise, who is still in critical condition, was visited by President Trump last night. And look, I'm going to be fairly brief with this. This may not technically be terrorism, but it feels like terrorism. For those of you who live in the area where we are broadcasting from, in the Washington, D.C. area, and you remember some years back, the sniper, which turned out to be two people. That was terrorism. You're afraid to go
out.
You're afraid to leave your house. You're afraid to get gas in your car because he shot people at gas stations. They shot people at gas stations. You're afraid to go near any wooded area because he shot people in wooded areas. They shot people in wooded areas. And day after day after day, you'd see these dopes on television telling you the psychological profile of this one lone shooter, but it was two people.
In his white panel van.
Right, but it was two people. That was terrorism. That may not have been political terrorism. That was terrorism.
Much more so, by the way, Tony, when people always ask us, I'm sure they ask everyone here, you know, what's it like to live in Washington, D.C.? Are you nervous a lot of the time? And I always say, no, you know, not really. I don't think about it. But that...
That was.
John Malvo and
Lee Boyd Malvo and John Muhammad.
Right.
That was legitimately terrifying. You'd be afraid to go out to run. I mean, I was
mailbox.
In my 20s. I'd be afraid to go out and run.
Yeah.
Right. I took the dog out, always looking around.
Yeah.
Always looking around. So this is what happened yesterday is a man with a lot of anger and a couple of guns aiming at people with a certain set of beliefs that he doesn't like. That, to me, is terrorism. I mean, because it is not the traditional way of somebody blowing themselves up or releasing a manifesto against the United States of America and their values. That doesn't make it any less terrifying and terroristic. There are too many guns in this country. There are just far too many guns in this country. And it's not going to stop because it didn't stop with Gabby Giffords, another member of Congress who was shot and wounded and her life basically destroyed. And it's not going to stop with
well,
this.
Well, Sandy Hook, it didn't stop.
No, and so what is going to happen is people are going to stand up and they're going to say, this is not about guns, it's about people with mental illness. Well, yeah, everybody is mentally ill when they start shooting a group of people. But there was nothing in this guy's background, right? Nothing in this guy's background to indicate mental illness.
No.
And he has he has assault rifles. What do you need those for?
Not mental illness. He had been arrested before for battery, for, you know, traffic violation. I mean, there was some indication of some level of willingness toward violence, but very different.
Well, he's certainly qualified very to different be able to buy guns and ammo.
Going with a rifle to a practice and beginning to shoot people. So I mean, that's a totally different
Everybody
thing.
Who listens to this show knows that and this is who my bias here against guns. I'm one of those. I'm one of the against guns guys. I don't want to come to your house and take all your guns, but I don't want you to be able to buy assault rifles because I think that's stupid. I am glad that that game will be played tonight. I'm very glad, and I hope there's a big crowd. Usually they get about 5,000-6,000 people. I hope they get 25,000 people.
Yeah, I was going to say, I assume it would be a multiple.
I hope people stand up and make this one of those things like they say, okay, this is, you know, we're responding to this by going to the game, which is a charitable event, and I'm very glad it's going to be played. I was a little bit disturbed. They had a congressman on today who was shot at and was not hit. His aide was hit, Congressman Williams from Texas.
Roger Williams, yep.
And what he said, and he's a very pleasant guy in all ways, but when you say when America gets punched, America punches back, this is not that. This is not America. This is some lunatic whose political bent was to do this. And this is, it's, you know what I mean, Chris? It's not the same thing to me. To me.
I get the sentiment, which is this is...
Be strong.
This is, number one, this is someone who was literally shot at yesterday.
Yeah.
So I give him some leeway for that. Number two, I do think there is a sense that this is an attack on an institution, more members who serve an institution, but an institution more broadly. I mean, this is not just a random... We don't think this is just a random thing. This is the guy, James Hodgkinson... He's clearly political. If you see his social media feeds, he's clearly someone who does not like Republicans.
He
did not
him.
Like Donald Trump. Yeah. So I can understand that sentiment, though. I also understand your point that the whole punchback thing may not ultimately be sort of our best path forward.
Anyway, I'm going to get off this, but I am glad the game is being played, and I would urge people to listen if they want. I would think that it costs very little to get into that game, and I think it's very supportive of the United States.
Where is it played?
It's at Nats Park. I will be there tonight.
Good.
We're doing. Erin Burnett is doing her show out of there, so I'll be there. And,
out front with Chris Salizzi.
And
we go out literally out front. Chris is out in front of the ballpark.
I've covered that before. When I used to work for Roll Call, I covered the congressional baseball game. It was at Bowie Bay Sox Stadium there, which had the added benefit for me of being right next to a Chick-fil-A. So you could go get food.
Nice. But not on Sunday.
It's a really nice event, actually. It will make you feel good about things. Can I say one other quick thing? Matt Mica, who's the guy who's the most seriously injured, who is a lobbyist, used to work on the Hill, is a guy that I play basketball with. And no, I think he is going to be okay. We shot twice in the chest. He's in intensive care, but I think from what I know, both in reading and what people who are in our basketball group have said, that he is not in any imminent danger. But just a word there, because just you know,
obviously our best wishes go out to anybody who was involved in that. Now I'll get off that and go to sports for a second. So we do the PTI show yesterday. We finish at about 5:15, and I go into the control room, and Eric Rideholm says to me, did you see this? I see what? No, I didn't see anything. And then he tells me that there are now reports, confirmed reports, that Mayweather and Conor McGregor are going to fight. And I said, do you want to go back into the show? The show's on. Like, it's about to be on.
Right.
And Mike is in Chicago, and, you know, he's gone. And I said, here's what I'll do. I'll go back into the show in the additions and corrections part, and I'll say one omission, and, you know, we'll time it out so that I do it exactly to what I did the previous amount of words to. And he said, yeah, but we would expect Mike to react to that, and we're not able to do that. So we didn't do it. And it came on as a SportsCenter jumped in for 30 seconds and announced that in just 15 minutes – they would have major coverage of this. And, I mean, I felt bad that happens, but sometimes that happens,
right.
And you're trapped in a time zone that you have nothing to do with. But I wanted to talk about the fight. This is not. I don't. There are things I don't believe about this. The money that is being talked about now is so hard to believe. It is so hard to believe that Floyd Mayweather will get $175 million for this and that Conor McGregor will get $100 million. That's $275 million. Are that many people... Like, each person who subscribes doesn't pay $1 million to see the fight.
Well, let me remind you that the fight, which will take place at the new arena out there, the T-Mobile Arena, which holds...
26th of August.
...holds over 3,000 more seats than the MGM, which is the next biggest.
Okay.
Tickets are not available to the public yet, but according to CBS Sportsline, when Mayweather took on Pacquiao in 2015 at MGM Grand, the average price of those tickets... You want to take a stab at the average price of the ticket?
$1,500.
I was going to say $1,000, but I bet it's
$4,451. $4,500 a seat.
Wow.
Average ticket.
That's a lot. That's a lot of money.
So
that's a big gate.
That's a lot of money.
Multiply 20, that by 18,000.
That's a lot of money. Is it a fight? Is it a fight?
So wait,
it's a boxing match.
So McGregor cannot kick him.
He has to use.
He can, but there would be consequences.
Yeah, he has to use bigger
like
gloves.
Like always in boxing.
Right, it's like Draymond Green. He'd be suspended for the next fight. The gloves are going to be bigger, and he can't kick. He can't do any of the things that he's used to doing. And Floyd Mayweather is not some chump.
No,
he may be 40 years old. He's the greatest defensive fighter ever. He may not knock the guy out, or he may knock the guy out. Is it a fight?
Not really.
It's a show.
Mayweather's fights are legendarily boring, and that's with regular boxers. If a regular boxer can't hit him, I don't see how an MMA guy who's literally basically fighting with one hand behind his back because he can't kick anybody. I don't see it. There's no grappling involved.
It has great show to it. It has racial and ethnic and crossover possibilities. We're gonna end up talking about it all summer long. But is it a fight?
I mean, I would try to,
I don't know what the cost is, I'd try to buy it for Chatter. I would certainly try to do that and try to build a huge crowd.
It's a big event.
Yeah, you should absolutely
is it
do
a
that.
Fight?
I mean, it's a
fight. Can McGregor win?
It's a fight like if the Cavs played the Patriots in football.
Yeah. What is it?
They're great. They're both great athletes, but I agree with Saliza. I don't know how an MMA guy, unless he's all trained up.
I don't see how. Remember when Thunder Lips fought Rocky Balboa?
That's right.
Yeah, was that Rocky 3? Yeah.
That was a good event.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, he threw them all around. Now, if that happened, I'd be interested.
Terry Bollea as Thunder
Lips. He doesn't know it's not a fight, Rock. They was handpicked, Rock.
Ali did this against a Japanese karate guy.
Oh, really?
Who crawled on the ground and tried to kick Ali for a number of rounds.
I believe that's pronounced karate.
Whatever, and it was one of those things that helped drive Howard Cosell out of the business.
What about the relative sizes?
Huh?
Are they relatively the same size?
They're going to fight up to 154. I didn't think either of them was that big.
McGregor is littler than Floyd.
Oh, he's
I think he's thinner than Floyd is.
Right, so, By the way,
I want to ask celebrity intern Matt Williamson because he's young, because maybe youth has something to do with this. Is this something you and your friends would want to see? Because you're kids.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like you would spend any amount of money, you would steal money from your father.
Yes, I was going to say.
Right?
I mean, depends on the price and the subscription. So how much is pay-per-view?
I bet it'd be...
It's $59.
$59.95.
You don't think it's more than that?
$79.
I think it goes 100, right. At least minimum
100. I would pay that.
I would definitely not pay $100 to watch it.
Would you? But if money were available in your parents' house and you could get your hands on it, would you do it?
Possibly, yes.
Michael, you're the next youngest. Is this something you want to watch?
Zero chance.
Really?
I don't have any interest in this.
Do you think it's a fight at all? Do you think that McGregor has any chance to win the fight?
I recognize it as a fight. I don't enjoy watching fights, whether it's traditional boxing, MMA, just not for me.
All right, Isaacson is here. Raise your hand. You going to watch this fight? You going to buy it? He's in the gallery here.
He works for them.
He works for MMA.
Yeah, he loves it.
Well, he'll probably get it at his house for free, so we'll all go to Isaacson's house.
Let me just point out, to answer my own question, Floyd Mayweather, program height and weight, 5'8". Mayweather, 5'8", 151. McGregor, 5'9", 154.
Oh, so they're basically the same size.
Thought
Floyd was bigger than that. 5'8".
According to the internet.
Floyd looks more muscular, but
McGregor dude looks like a rope.
He does.
You would not want it. He's all muscle, all that he's got.
But can you learn to fight?
I don't think
time. Yeah, I mean, to do this.
Could you beat a C level boxer? Sure, but you're talking about Flynn. I mean, that's like saying, could you learn how to play basketball? Yes.
Well, I mean, there's or one could other you relevant beat LeBron stat.
James one on one? Are we to assume that Conor McGregor grew up going to a gym and boxing a little bit before he got into MMA? I don't know.
That I don't think know.
So. He's only 28. I mean,
he is significantly younger than Floyd.
MMA was well established by the time he was a teenager and would have been getting into it. So, and that's the other, I guess, important stat is he's 28 versus 40.
Yeah.
Well, it's an important stat if they were doing the same thing.
Well, it's a
but
pretty
one of them
physical...
is doing something he's never done before.
Yeah.
He's going to get punched in the face.
Repeatedly.
Well, he's been punched in the face before.
It'll feel like a love tap with those gloves.
What is his power in those gloves?
Yeah.
What is his power?
Yeah. I don't know, we'll see.
I assume he's going to come out swinging like a maniac.
That's what I would do.
Right.
I think you have to be as unorthodox as possible because if you fight an orthodox fight, Floyd will win.
If it goes 12 rounds, it won't.
Yes, McGregor.
Because Conor McGregor cannot stay 12.
We're
talking about this as if it's a real deal.
McGregor cannot attempt to box him. I mean, that can't be the strategy.
No. You never win.
You run across the ring and you throw everything you've got. And worst comes to worst, you do kick him. And you get DQ'd. And you do it again for another $300 million.
So if those tickets went for the same... They seat 20,000 for MMA and boxing at that stadium. If those seats went for that $4,500 average that Pacquiao and Mayweather did, and they would arguably go for more.
Yeah, more.
That you've got
because
a 90...
Because it's in Las Vegas.
Yeah,
and
you got a $90 million gate right there, so...
Yeah,
that's
but
a third of it.
Well, and then you figure then how much pay-per-view. If it is $100, I mean, it's not. It
is that $100 per household, so you can have
have a million people over. They
that's
can't regulate
high.
And
you
that.
Can charge. High.
Let's say it's much. Let's say it's $60 or $59.95.
Whatever it is,
still,
there'll be multiple millions.
They're
going to
charge
it,
us at a restaurant more than that.
Yeah,
it's a different license.
Right, that's what I would think. Although we could say it's a house, it's a private house.
Who's going to tell?
Well, you say I know Bill Isaacson.
Yeah, I know Isaacson.
That's how it happens.
Let's get out of here.
I say that all the time.
Let's get out of here. We will come back. Steve Sands will join us live from Erin Hills in Wisconsin when we return on the side of the U.S. Open. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a SeatGeek ad, and this is appropriate right now, having talked about this incredible gate for Mayweather and McGregor. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there's a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps of your phone. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person. SeatGeek will get you close to the action for a great value. Do you think they'll have seats for this?
Sure. Yes. Sure. It's for everything.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You're going to pay...
One way or the other, you'll pay.
This seems like a real lot of money.
Yes.
You know what? If you want to see it, this is how you do it. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that can fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, my listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. So if you get a SeatGeek deal to McGregor against Mayweather for, let's just say, $7,300. You can get $20 off,
back.
And I wouldn't
boom.
Turn
nice.
My nose off.
Buy you half a beer while
off.
You're there.
Yep. Right, just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code Tony today, T-O-N-Y. That's promo code Tony for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Nick Ralg, or Nick Rawg, we don't know how to pronounce it. This is called Little Adelaide. He writes, I just wanted to send you a new song I've been working on. Really appreciate you guys playing a song I sent around a month ago, and I just wanted to send another. Thank you for your time, and I hope you enjoy. He's very good.
Yes, it's lovely.
The music we get, as we say almost every day, is beyond great.
It's astonishing how great it is.
Yeah, it's much better quality than this particular show deserves. Steve Sands of NBC joins us now in the Golf Channel. And Sands cannot see us on News Channel 8 in Erin Hills, Wisconsin. But Michael has on his Erin Hills hat, and I have on my Erin Hills shirt because we played it last year. I don't know if you've ever played it, and I don't know if you've been there before this week, but when you first laid eyes on the course, what did you think of it?
Well, first of all, when I landed in Wisconsin, I took about four steps in this great
state. Lecheesery!
Yep. And somebody yelled, somebody yelled, might be the best shout-out ever. Somebody yelled, welcome to the real Lecheesery land.
That's great.
So good.
Then, That's great.
And then, after work, the first day I was here, I checked into the hotel in downtown Milwaukee, and the guy was helping me and said, your elevator is up there to the steps on the right. And I said, great, thank you. I take one step to my right, and then out from behind the front desk, the assistant manager of the hotel yells Lecheesery as loud as you can yell it. And I'm like, wow. And the guy says, I've been listening to Tony forever. Please tell him how much I love his show. I've listened every day for the last, 100 years, he said.
It's great.
So you are everywhere, Tony. I have never seen the golf course until this week. I have heard about it, especially from you and Michael. A lot of our guys were there in 2011 when the U.S. Amateur was there. I was not there that week. It's a big ballpark.
Yeah.
I mean, a big ballpark. A golf course is usually about a 5.5-6 mile walk. It's a 9 mile walk at Erin Hills. There's a lot of space out there.
One of the things that we noted, and we played it last summer, and Wilbon and I, because we're old, the distances that you have to travel from the green to the next tee are sometimes as much as, it seemed to us, 70, 75 yards.
Wow.
I mean, it was just really long, and the pros are all the way at the tips and playing at about 7,500 yards. What do you make of that?
Well, I think it's going to make the rounds a little bit longer. I think that they think that the first couple of days before the cut is made, when they're playing split tees and threesomes, when they make the cut on Saturday and Sunday, as long as the weather's okay, they'll play only twos. I think that the rounds will be long. That's a long walk, Tony. I mean, these guys are in fine shape. It's not like it's a cardiovascular issue, but a time issue. It is a long ways between those holes. And like you said, if they're playing it from the tips, and they're not going to play the entire course, the entire length, but they will be able to play some of the holes as far back as possible. You're talking about, like you said, 75-yard walks. You know, these guys will take some time, and I think rounds could be almost up to 6 hours. The first couple of days. It's a long time.
Wow, that is really a long time. Here's what...
For normal weekend...
It does create a lot of space, however, for fans. There's going to be so many people out here these next 4 days. This state loves its sports anyway, but it's almost as if this course was built for a major championship, considering how much space is between those tees and greens to allow all those fans. There's going to be more fans out here this week than perhaps we've ever seen at the U.S. Open.
I was going to say, for normal weekend play, they would tell you on the first tee, par time-wise is 5.5 hours. 6 hours will actually be pretty lucky, because if you have a couple people looking for balls in that fescue, it could easily be 6+.
Yeah, no question. It's going to be interesting to see how long it takes. One of the things that's fascinating about this week is you can't really judge the U.S. Amateur with the U.S. Open. It's just a completely different ball game. It's match play for the most part. There is some stroke play there, but it's mostly match play versus all stroke play this week. But basically, the players are playing here for the very first time, and the USGA is setting up the golf course for a U.S. Open here for the very first time. So I think there's going to be a little bit of an adjustment on Friday for the second round after Thursday's first round takes place by not only the players, but also the organizing body.
So we were there literally a year ago, you know, Father's Day weekend. Weren't we
July 5th.
Okay, so we're a little, not quite a year ago. And what we were assured of by everybody who worked there is wait till you see this thing on TV. Because you know how Chambers Bay looked terrible on TV? And everybody right. at Erin Hills said, when this fescue waves and it is sort of yellow and the greenery is really green, this course is going to look spectacular on TV. You do TV. Do you have that sense?
100%. I think it's going to look fantastic. And the other thing is, remember we talked about how many fans are going to be out here. Tony, when you watch a golf tournament, when you watch any sporting event, the crowd matters. The atmosphere really matters. And I think when people turn on their TV today and they see the first round, and then all the way to the final round on Sunday, when you see the massive crowds along with the beautiful green grass and that fescue, I think it's going to look fantastic. I think we're set up for a tremendous week. I know they've never come to Erin Hills, and next year they're going to Shinnecock and then Pebble Beach and then Wingfoot and then the Country Club at Brookline and all these great iconic courses. But at some point, those courses also hosted the U.S. Open for the very first time. We could be looking at a place, unlike Chambers Bay, in my opinion, where 50 years from now, 100 years from now, when none of us are around, this course could be one of the ones that's in the rotation, because I think it's just perfectly suited to host a championship of this stature.
So you mentioned that you were staying in Milwaukee. We drove there from Whistling Straits, which I think was almost a two-hour drive or a little bit less than a two-hour drive. We did not see one sign for Erin Hills. This is only a year ago. We didn't see one sign for Erin Hills until we saw a sign that said Erin Hills 1 mile. This is the middle of nowhere. Absolutely.
Yep.
Where are golfers staying and where are ticket holders staying? You're talking about crowds, I would assume, in excess of 30,000 or 40,000 people. How do they get there? Where do they stay?
Well, it's interesting. There's no parking in and around the golf course unless you're a player, caddy, official, kind of a media member. Everybody is shuttling in. So they're parking in fields, just like, I don't know, did you go to Whistling Straits for a PGA Championship or just go to Whistling Straits to play?
No, just to play.
Okay, so in and around Whistling Straits, they have all these farms where people would park, and then they would shuttle them in. Same thing here. So it's kind of like a 20 or 30-minute buffer in and around Erin Hills, which is truly in the middle of nowhere here in Wisconsin. And I mean, it's a good 45, 60 minutes from downtown Milwaukee. It's a long ways out there. But there's going to be no parking there, so they're going to park in fields and then shuttle them in. So it'll be, logistically, it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. But they think they've got it down pat, and they think they're going to be fine. And the players are all staying in either hotels that are about 20, 30 minutes away that, you know, nothing, no fancy, no Mayflower or two rogue hotels for you.
No.
Out here. And most of them, however, are renting houses. What people do now is, like in Augusta or any other place where there's a major championship, these players rent houses, and their agents have done this years in advance. And people who live in the area are taking advantage and getting big, big numbers for their homes this week.
We thought, when we were done playing, we thought it was so long, and by we, I mean Michael, he thought that the pros would not like this place and that they would be reluctant about it from the start. I saw the Kevin Na video. I don't know if he represents most people. What are the pros saying about the length and the grounds and the all the rough?
May I clarify?
Yes.
It's not just the length. It's sometimes the bounces that you're getting. So you have a par four where you're hitting the middle of the fairway and the ball is funneling 5 yards into rough. And by rough, you're getting into some of the fescue. So you're hitting good shots that are being rewarded by getting into unplayable situations. They can handle the length as long as they know where they're going and as long as the ball reacts the way they think it will. You have a few par threes that have some blind tee shots that continues on some of the par fours. I think the length is not the issue. They have to be very careful with the setup. They might put number 15 as a drivable par 4, which is that really tiny, very thin green with a dangerous right side. So it's not just the sheer length you see on the scorecard. Everyone sees four par 5s over 600 yards at first glance. It's just knowing what they're going to get. I think as long as they feel they're setting it up the way they have set it up for practice rounds and as expected, they'll be fine. But it's those bounces and sort of those unknowables that's bigger than the lane.
What do you think, Steve?
Michael, in the middle of Michael's beautiful analysis there, he said something that I think is the biggest key to the entire week, that the setup has to be correct. If the USGA does not set up this golf course correctly, it's going to be a bad week for them. And they need a really good week without any controversy. They've had a tough go of it three of the last 4 years. Pinehurst in 2014 when Martin Keimer won, everybody loved it. It was perfectly fine. 2013 at Marion was a goofy setup. That was the year Justin Rose beat Phil Mickelson. It was a goofy setup at a great, iconic course, outside of Philadelphia at Marion. 2015 Chambers Bay, the golf course was a joke. The greens were terrible, and everybody hated it. But they were saved because it was a great finish with Jordan Spieth and Dustin Johnson. And then last year, the fiasco with the ruling by the USGA at Oakmont with Dustin Johnson kind of didn't ruin the week, but it really, really wrecked the reputation or added on to the bad reputation of the USGA's mess these last few years. So what they need to do this week, Tony and Michael, is set up this golf course correctly. Do not do anything goofy. Make sure that the players don't look foolish and that the course doesn't look foolish, because they have a nice canvas here to paint. But, you know, they need to act like Picasso and not somebody who's finger painting and is 6 years old.
Okay, so the fairways are very wide. And I loved what Rory McIlroy said. He said, we got the best players in the world. If you can't land on these fairways, go home, get out of here.
Correct.
What did you think of that? And does that speak for most golfers or just for Rory?
Well, as you know, Tony, and I told you this in person when we were having dinner, and I've said it on the show before, Rory's the best. And if you're ever going to have a golfer on, I know you don't ever have athletes on.
No, we have
you. If you're going to have a golfer on, I told you this before, Rory's your guy, because he says exactly what he thinks. And it's not like he's playing with house money, because he's a four-time major champion, including congressional in the U.S. Open in 2011. He truly is a bright, insightful guy who will say what's on his mind. And I think most players, the great majority of the players, are with Rory on this one. The fairways here are very, very wide, probably the widest not only of a U.S. Open, but of any major championship that's ever been played. Now, if you hit it into that fescue, you're in trouble. But you should be in trouble if you hit the ball 50, 60 yards off target.
Right.
I think these fairways are fine. What Michael said is interesting, and it's true also, although with the rain, it won't be as true this week as it probably was when you guys played your last July. They had so much rain here earlier this week. The golf course is a lot softer than they wanted it to be, so it won't nearly be as firm and fast, and the balls won't roll out as much as they would like. So what that means is those fairways get actually a lot wider, which means that the best players in the world should be able to handle it and hit those fairways. Those fairways that kind of roll and trickle towards the fescue, it won't be nearly as bad as it was, say, a couple of weeks ago before the rain.
Phil Mickelson.
I think the scoring, Tony, is going to be low today. I think the USGA is going to have to make an adjustment, because they're not going to like it at the end of the day if somebody is 4-5, maybe even 6 under par.
No, they don't like that. They like the U.S. Open to finish at par or even 1 or 2 over. Mickelson has officially withdrawn, we are told. How big a deal is that, and is it what you expected to happen?
Yeah, I mean, he was waiting for the forecast, although it would have been extremely Phil-like if Mother Nature would have cooperated and handed him a thunderstorm in the area that would have delayed play. He would have needed about a 4-4.5 hour delay. That's not going to happen. They're pretty much in the clear for the day. Now, tomorrow could be interesting. Same with Saturday and a little bit on Sunday. But today the weather forecast is fine, so he won't get the delay. It's too bad. It's a big story. But now that he's withdrawn and he won't be here, that'll go away pretty quickly.
All right, we'll get you out of here on this. Is there anything you want to say about the Nats bullpen?
Well, aside from my curse-laden text that I send all of you guys,
thank you
for being my sounding board. You know what, Tony? They suck, okay? It's time to do something, Mike Rizzo. This team is too good to allow one part of it to bring them down. The window is now. They need to get it fixed. That trade deadline cannot come soon enough, man. They have got to get themselves somebody who can get it to the ninth inning. I actually think Kota Glover is actually pretty good if he just stays out of the shower. Maybe he shouldn't shower anymore. But they stink, Tony. I mean, get it together, for God's sakes. You're professional baseball players.
Thank you, Steve. Enjoy the weekend. We'll try to talk to you Monday. Appreciate it.
You got it.
Steve Sands, boys and girls. Always good to talk to Steve Sands. Could you, Michael, just explain this one thing for those of us who are not sure of this? When you talk about the setup of a course, what exactly do you mean by that?
So if you look at the scorecard, as I'm looking at the Erin Hill scorecard right now, you have the staked out course. So if I walk into a golf course, I know it might be laid out as from the back tees, it's 7,800 yards. These players want to be practicing from the tee boxes that they are going to see during tournament play. So right now you have the second hole and you have the 15th hole, which are two of the par fours under 400 yards. Both of those could be moved up to make the golf hole drivable, but the players would like to see the USGA give them that information so okay. they can move two or three boxes up and practice that shot. Same thing with something like number 9, which is a very tricky par 3 downhill finishing hole with really difficult bunkering. The bunkering may be the sort of silent killer at that golf course that's not getting enough coverage, because it's these finger bunkers where you have no stance and no lie, and tour players rely on bunkers to save them when they're not playing well. But on that hole, if you've been practicing at 150 yards and you know it's a hard wedge downhill, and they move it to 115 yards, and all of a sudden you're hitting an in-between wedge.
So you're not prepared.
Not prepared, and this happened famously to Jim Furyk at Olympic on the par 5. They moved it way up. He was ready for it to be a 3-wood off the tee and a 3-shot hole. They move it up. He snipe hooks a drive left. So I think they just want to know how it's going to play. But traditionally, the USGA gives you that information. They try and pull one fast one on you on the back okay. nine on okay. Sunday to try and trick you up a little. Though.
Well, it makes it good for TV that way. All right, we will take a break. We will come back. Nigel will have the news when we return. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Life insurance. Do you have it? If you don't, why not? It's too expensive. It's a hassle. I didn't have life insurance for a long time, and I got life insurance within the last 6 or 7 years, because I just sort of found out I probably wouldn't live forever. I mean, I assumed I would live forever for a long time, but now I realize I won't. I want to make sure that everybody who I leave behind has stuff. If you don't have life insurance, what would financially happen if something happened to the primary earner? I wasn't the primary earner. I was the only earner. Okay, not primary, only. Life insurance is a good idea to protect the ones around you, but where do you go for the best prices on the best policy with the best service? PolicyGenius.com is the best online life insurance marketplace. It gives you the most accurate quotes from the top A-rated life insurance companies. PolicyGenius has placed over $5 billion in life insurances for people like you, and PolicyGenius has a very simple, user-friendly website to shop and compare all the top-rated life insurance companies and give you the best options. They have a licensed customer service team to help you find the best policy at the best price. While you're there, check out their other insurance offerings like health insurance and pet insurance. Pet insurance. This dog is costing me millions. I should probably get that. Go to PolicyGenius.com today to save over 40% off other prices for life insurance. When life insurers compete for your business, you save money. That is PolicyGenius.com, PolicyGenius. If you can't spell genius, you're not one. Zero jargon, zero sales pressure, zero hassle. Life insurance made easy, free quotes, zero hassle, peace of mind. Don't wait. Go to PolicyGenius.com today.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us and written by and performed by Rod Lawver Jr., who writes, I'm a longtime little living in Baltimore. I wanted to submit my music for the show. I'm a lifelong musician, most recently recording electronic music under the moniker Unreliable Narrator. Oh. And I have attached Something on Your Mind off of my recently released new EP, Routines. Listeners can purchase or download this song for free. Well, then you can't purchase it because it's free.
It's free.
On Bandcamp at unreliablenarratorbaltimore.bandcamp.com. More importantly, I wanted to submit this around Father's Day in the hopes you could wish my father, Dr. Rod Lawver, an even bigger fan of yours than I am. Happy Father's Day and a hearty La Cheesery. He taught me that Tony was truly the gold standard of sports broadcasting. I've been listening ever since. You also share the honor of the doctor title and both insist on using it whenever possible, no matter the occasion. And I do. I want to be called doctor at all times now, but nobody does. And if somebody said doctor, I would turn around and not know what they were talking about. Michael, if people want to submit, what do they do?
They can email their original music to jingles at tonykornheisershow.com.
Do you get consulted, like brought in on consult basis for various things? Can I get your opinion on here, doctor?
No, but I am.
But you're available.
Do you concur? And I say yes.
And you can Skype. You can Skype Dr. Tony in if you have some questions.
Right. So second opinion for hire.
I got a 6th toe. Can you take a look at it?
I know people with that problem.
Yeah.
As you say, Concur, is that like the scene from Catch Me If You Can?
Yeah, I love
that. Concur?
Do you concur?
Yes, I do.
Leonardo
concur.
DiCaprio in that. Good movie.
Yes, before we get into the news, Gary, I think you wanted to make some sort of announcement today.
Yes, I did.
Well, there you go.
About
Jingle Fest,
right? About the I'm sorry.
Just having to prompt
him
through
we were
this.
Doing that there. No,
did we write
just
him a
that,
script?
That I, despite the fact that I will be returning from the country that very same day, I will
Which
be.
Which country?
DR, in honor of my friend, Dr.
Doctor.
Tony.
Yeah, the doctor.
Yes, heading to the Dominican Republic for the dreaded family trip with the in-laws.
And as
I always like to point out.
You're going on a family trip to
I didn't tell you this?
No.
Going
to a foreign country.
I thought you told me that you never, ever do family trips. Where did you go?
Yes.
What's that water park?
We went. I will not forget this. We went to the Great Wolf Lodge. The MRSA factory in Williamsburg, known as the Great Wolf Lodge. This was the year the Packers and the Seahawks played in the NFC Championship. I remember because I had left the facility to go to the bar to watch that game, and we went. Kim's parents wanted to go with all the grandkids. There's my three that I have, and then also two. Kim has a sister with two kids. So yeah, that
you
was
said
a total
you would
disaster.
Never do this again.
And I killed,
sounds like a prison when you call it the facility.
The facility,
the joint
lockdown.
And I effectively killed. I think that was maybe was that 2012? Could it have been that long ago? I effectively killed
long.
The family vacation for that long for across both families because my parents also at times wanted to take us somewhere. And I just said this doesn't work. For
Did
me
you
anymore.
Do it by your appalling behavior or you just
no,
shut
no,
it down?
I honesty is the best policy, Chris. And I simply said
I disagree.
The older I get, the harder I work, the less vacation time I have, the less inclined I am to give it over to other people, even if they are people who I love dearly, as I do my in-laws, even though I joke that the difference between in-laws and outlaws is that outlaws are wanted. Unfortunately, with recent events, and as people get older, Kim's parents have decided, you know what, there's things we want to do before while we can still do them.
And they're taking you to the Dominican Republic?
And they actually,
to
in,
baseball
in like
camp?
February, yeah. in February said they wanted to take everyone away for spring break. And I, maybe I wasn't entirely honest in this regard, I said, I don't think that's a great idea. I mean, it's so late in the season. Prices are all jacked up, which they were. I mean,
right.
a $300 flight on Wednesday was going to be $700 on Friday. And I said, you know, there's so many people. It's so expensive. Why don't we just do it later? You know, maybe we could do something in the summer. They talked about wanting to go to an all-inclusive. And I said, you know, I'll just push it off in the summer. And then when it comes up in the summer, I'll say, who wants to go to the islands in the summer?
It's too hot.
Let's go to the beach. Well, I lost the next round. So, yes, so we
Can't
are going. The 11 of us are going to an all-inclusive in Punta Cana.
And you think it's going to be dreadful, don't you?
Well, it's all-inclusive, so I'm bringing my own 32-ounce Yeti,
right,
which I can
go.
Get filled up with,
there
like, pina
go.
Colada
there
and just keep, stay cold on the beach all day. No, all-inclusive will be all right because everyone can just go their separate way.
It
largely.
Would just seem to me that with the lesson you had learned, that nobody I really liked, people I really like, would ever consider going on a family vacation. Right, Chris?
Well, so I won't be here next week, ratings boost, because I will be on a family vacation with everyone on my wife's side
How many?
Of the family. It's 40, in the
43?
No, it's in the 20s
wow.
for sure. We have the oldest children of the group, and my children are 8 and 4.
So how many total children? How many total children?
Let's see, 2, 5, 6, 8, 9.
Wow. Oh, that sounds like fun. Where are
you
going?
You want to come, doctor?
No, where are you going?
Well, luckily we're going to America's armpit, Florida. And you say, oh, Chris, well, Miami is beautiful this
it
time
is.
Of year. Well, we'll be in the Panhandle.
Oh, the Panhandle, the Redneck Riviera.
They say that it's beautiful there.
You should go to the
Who's
Waffle
they?
House.
Who says this?
My family.
Yeah.
So, look, so, I will say this. I am excited about this. I love go-karts, and I love mini-golf. And I think I'm going to be doing a lot of both of those
go-kart,
things.
A family
How do you
go-kart
feel about tattoos?
Vacation.
And I love tattoos, as you well know, no. Gary.
So, oh. Tony, in a few years...
I won't.
When you find yourself...
Yeah.
No. Just let me finish the question. When you find yourself wanting to do things with your kids and grandkid or
grandkids.
My kids don't like me. That's not true.
I didn't
say
they'll
want to
do it. I say when you find yourself wanting to do it, whose side do I take? Do I defend them when they say we don't do the family trip?
My grid is very, very small. I won't, Michael.
We'll do a family trip. We just won't invite Dr. Tony.
That's okay.
We've been doing family trips.
He can bankroll it.
Can you imagine Mr. Dr. Tony at Great Wolf Lodge?
It's just
unthinkable. No.
It would be amazing. I would pay to see it. Literally. You want to talk about pay per views? I'd pay for it.
I mean, it is.
Whatever you would pay to get me to go there, I would pay more to not go there. To pay someone else to go
just
in my
poop
stead.
In the water everywhere.
So the point was, I'm sorry, that the Jingle Fest event this year, I believe it's the Desolation of Song. Is that what it's called?
Good.
Desolation of Smog.
Desolation of Song, I think is what Jerry is calling it. Is the 24th, Saturday night the 24th.
That's right.
At the Pooks Hill Marriott, that's what they used to call it,
yep.
In Bethesda, Maryland. Bethesda. And I'm not sure how it works, if it's ticketed or what, but I'm sure you can just get online
and
find it. I will definitely be going. I'm being chauffeured there almost directly from the airport.
Fantastic.
Upon my return.
How great is that?
Do you have some news?
By the way, it will be. I would much rather spend 3 hours drinking with Littles than a week in the Dominican with my family.
And I have one more small announcement. There's a new podcast that is launching tomorrow with our good friends Arch Campbell and Ann Hornaday. It's called At the Movies with Arch and Ann. They'll be taping right here tomorrow morning, so hopefully everyone can tune in and listen.
Ann's book, by the way, has been getting a lot of really positive reviews, including in the New York Times.
So I would like to do a book signing here at Chatter with Ann.
Yeah.
We just have to work out a date for it and get some publicity.
So Chatter is open for breakfast tomorrow, and that podcast will be recording at 9 a.m.
Okay. Exactly.
Good.
Very exactly.
Nice. Okay.
To baseball, Mr. Tony. Tough run for the Nats right now.
Michael went to the game.
Yeah, you were there, and it was early that the Braves got on top of them, right?
Yeah, that was not a great start to that game. I'm willing to look past the Braves series, and I'm just all in on this Mets series. You looked at what was a really easy May and early June, and all of a sudden the lead's not that big, and you have a 4-game swing up in New York. They really need to right the ship and at least have that series up there.
It's good to see that Gott got back into the bullpen groove by allowing 5 runs in 1/3 of an inning.
His ERA's over 22, I think.
Yes, it's over 22.
It's got to be above 5 to be included.
By the way, the Braves had not won a series in Washington
in years.
Since 2014. They'd lost 23 of the last 25 games in Washington.
Wow.
So this is somewhat miraculous that they came
that game got out of hand quickly, but they do have some offense, and that's what worries me about going into New York.
Yep.
Staying with baseball, I know Chris Saliza will be excited about this. The Chicago White Sox in their draft, and I know you follow the draft very carefully.
I don't.
Who did they draft? Chance King. That's right.
Larry King's. That's
heck
great.
Of a hitter, that kid.
What round?
39th round.
So what?
Were you drafted? Or was I drafted?
You can watch it on the Hulu.
That's wonderful.
Yes. Chance King.
Yes. So I just thought
IMG Academy's finest, I believe.
Yes.
And by the way, the
IMG
Nats
Academy,
apparently drafted Kirk Cousins' cousin.
Yes.
So what does that make him?
Cousins,
his uncle?
He played golf with Donald John Trump.
Yes, he did. Recently. That was in the paper today.
Yep.
Golf with the president.
Yeah, yes. You got to be really special to do that.
That's a rare thing. He doesn't do that much, so that's nice that they got a chance to get away and do
Donald,
that.
Donald, no, he goes to his golf courses, but he doesn't play at
them. He claims that he doesn't play, even though he plays all the time.
By
the way, are you aware of what the Cubs are doing, what they are selling? Are you aware of this?
They're selling the
dead ivy that they swear is authenticated, which is nonsense.
I mean, what is that? How do you want
$200 a leaf? $200 a leaf with a hologram on it. $15 shipping and handling for a dead piece of ivy.
Yeah.
This is unbelievable.
Yep.
Wilbon is going to buy, you can only buy 10 is the most you can buy. And they claim they only have 2016, get it, pieces of ivy. But I'm sure they have 80,000 because it's just dead leaves.
And I'm sure they've got a bag of leaves. It's, from somebody's yard.
Wouldn't they be better off selling a living piece of it?
Money-grubbing, awful thing that is. What else do you have?
Mr. Tony, I want to take you through a terrifying story that happened in Maine. Rachel Borch was going for a jog through the woods, because there's a lot of woods up in Maine.
And I've never been to Maine.
Oh, you've never been?
I've never been to Maine.
It's lovely.
Gary, beautiful country.
I have been to Maine, yes.
Chris, you should go. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Michael, you've been to Maine?
No. Never.
What?
Oh, I thought you went to L.L. Bean. I thought you took a day trip to L.L. Bean. You told me that once. Perhaps you lied to me.
Oh, I didn't lie. I guess that is
just
in Maine.
Nebraska and Oregon, the only states I have not been to.
Celebrity intern Matt Williamson, have you been to Maine? Never. He's shaking.
When you live in Connecticut, you don't need to go a lot of places. You got everything you need.
So what happened?
That is very
Trust
true.
Me as a native.
So as Miss Borch is jogging along through these trails in the woods, she literally said to herself, my gosh, what a beautiful day. Wonderful to be out in the middle of nature.
This isn't going
to
end well.
Yeah.
Then as she went on along the trail, she noticed an animal up ahead. What kind of animal was that? A raccoon.
Daytime?
Don't.
Daytime.
Oh, they're rabbits.
Daytime raccoon. No. That was my band name.
She said she noticed a raccoon obstructing the narrow footpath, baring its tiny little teeth.
Not
suddenly,
that tiny.
It began bounding towards her.
No, it's a psychotic raccoon.
Yep. I knew instantly it had to be rabid. She remembers ripping out her headphones and dropping her phone on the ground.
As
an offering.
Gotta save the phone.
Yeah, take the phone. I don't need it. It'll probably blow up anyways. It's a Samsung. I knew it was going to bite me. Figuring what she would have the greatest ability to defend herself was if she used her hands to hold it down. So she reached down and grabbed it, and the raccoon, of course, bit her hand and had a thumb in its mouth just chewing on the thumb and scratching at her. And so she was locked in this death struggle with the raccoon. And she's like, well, what am I going to do? I don't know if I can kill it. And then she noticed that her cell phone that she had dropped was in a puddle. A rather deep puddle. So she dragged the raccoon while it was still chewing on her
thumb. And she drowned the raccoon?
The raccoon.
Pushed the raccoon's head underneath the water?
Yes. With some sort of death struggle. Yes, and the raccoon is no longer with us, drowned. And then
does she have raccoon rabies?
Well, yeah, she has rabies.
Well, it turned out as fair play, raccoons should be able to put her down. Because now that she has tasted raccoon blood, she's just going to be going a raccoon killing spree.
Do we believe this story? Is this believable to you?
Yeah, this is believable.
This does seem to be. This is from the Bangor Times, I think.
Yeah,
so we don't hear that.
Yes.
Okay. So
that's lovely. That.
Yes.
There she is in the woods, in the deep woods,
and
where she.
One final, is the carcass shown? One final story, and this is alarming as well. This happened in New York. Two men were caught on video throwing avocados at a Bronx bodega worker after there's some dispute about their food.
I believe
order.
They were frozen.
Going
were
full Kirk Jenner.
The men started throwing this about 4:45 on May 29th. This is
yelling,
right near Yankee
baseball.
Stadium. They threw both bananas and avocados at the 20-year-old worker. He suffered cuts, fractures, and a broken jaw.
Why did they do this?
They said
there was some dispute over the food order.
Hang on. How are ripe avocados and bananas going to cause cuts, fractures?
I think they were.
An avocado has got that big pit underneath. Yeah. I mean, that you could throw an avocado hard and break somebody's jaw.
This is from the New York Post, and the headline is Bodega Worker Suffers Broken Jaw.
A banana? I don't think a banana could do it to you.
Violent fruiting.
Violent fruiting. Tim Kirkchin's whereabouts not known, so we
always don't know. Does he have an alibi?
Can I just quickly add one story that Nigel missed that Gary and I were discussing this morning?
Yes, it should be pointed out.
A Silver Spring woman was recently bitten by a venomous snake in her bed.
What was the snake doing in there?
It was a copperhead snake that just had gotten into her bed.
She lives in a wooded area of Silver Spring.
Awoken from her slumber around 6 a.m. by a searing pain in the webbing between thumb and forefinger of her left hand. I leapt out of my bed and turned on my light. There was this huge snake in my bed.
3-foot copperhead. It actually had bitten her twice, and she almost lost her arm as a result. They had to do surgery to relieve the pressure. And get
what a great way to get out of the news segment.
Is the snake okay?
Yeah. They killed the snake.
Snake's whereabouts are unknown at
the time. All right, so we'll get out of here now. We will come back with Old Guy Radio when we return. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Harry's ad, and this is the Father's Day Harry's ad. Ooh. Father's Day just around the corner. Dads are impossible to shop for. It's difficult to find something that really feels special that he'll actually use, you know, because you're always waiting until the last minute. Fortunately, our friends over at Harry's have a special offer that you're going to love, and Dad will too. You can get $5 off one of their shave sets, including a limited edition Father's Day set at harrys.com/TonyK. You get, this is all of the things that you get for your dad. You know, we sell a whole bunch of Father's Day things for your dad, and all of them are useful, and none of them conflict with any of the other things we're selling, so I feel good about that. Harry's is all about a great shave at a fair price. You get 5 German-crafted blades, flex hinge, lubricating strip. You get 100% quality guarantee, a full refund if you're not happy. They cost $2 a blade or less, which is half the price of the leading 5-blade razor brand. The shave sets start at just $15, not to mention the $5 off when you go to harrys.com/TonyK. You get the razor handle, moisturizing shave gel, and 3 of Harry's 5-blade precision engineered razors. It's a limited Father's Day shave set that comes with a storm gray razor handle, a chrome razor stand, foaming shave gel, three replacement blades, and a travel cover. Plus, the box, you have the option of custom engraving or a personalized card for free. You ought to probably get on this pretty quickly because Father's Day is Sunday, and the last time I looked today was Thursday.
Yes.
Go to Harrys.com, H-A-R-R-Y-S, Harrys.com/TonyK right now to redeem a special offer for fans of this high-quality podcast. Harrys will give you $5 off one of their shave sets. Limited time only, as I'm saying, act now. That's Harrys.com/TonyK to get $5 off, and it says help support the show, which is a smart and tricky way of seducing me into reading the air.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show. Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is Take It to the Limit by the Eagles. Why do we play something by the Eagles? Because I like the Eagles. I'm a sap. I like the Eagles. This is a song where the lead singer is Randy Meisner. And if you've seen the Eagles documentary, Randy Meisner just doesn't want to sing this song. He doesn't want to do the high notes at the end of the song. He's gotten to the point where he just says, I'm just sick of doing this. And Glenn Frey basically says, fine, when we're done with this song, I'm going to beat you to death and throw you out of the band, and I'm going to make you wish you had never come into this room, right? That's essentially what he does.
Yeah,
because Glenn Frey was a gangster.
Well, apparently, the fans loved this as sort of the encore.
Good song.
And Meisner was fine with playing it, except when Frey and Henley were like, you've got to play it. Then he would get all freaked out.
Yeah.
And he had the flu at the end of this tour and said, I'm not going to play it, and refused. And then Frey became a gangster.
Yeah.
And at the end of the tour, he said,
kill him.
This is Timothy B. Schmidt. He's going to be our new bassist. Thanks.
Right, get out.
Yeah, get out.
I want to, before we get to what is reasonable political commentary, and we ask Chris about now apparently the Bob Mueller investigation into the sitting president of the United States of America, I get these opportunities very rarely to read from obituaries, and some people say I shouldn't do it, but I'm going to. Anita Pallenberg died, 75 years old, and you may not know the name. She was the paramour of a number of the Rolling Stones, most notably Keith Richards, with whom she had a bunch of children. This is by Matt Schudel or Schudel, I don't really know, but I'm going to read parts of this, which it's just an amazing life. Anita Pallenberg, a model and actress who was sometimes called the muse of the Rolling Stones and had affairs with three of the band's key members, including a decade-long drug-fueled relationship with Keith Richard, died June 13th in a hospital in Chichester, England. She was 75. Richards confirmed her death to the Associated Press through a spokesman. Cause was not known, although she had reportedly hepatitis and other ailments. The alluring Miss Pallenberg, who met the Stones by sneaking backstage at a concert in 1965 and offering the band hashish, which is just a fantastic way of
telling that. That's how I get in this show.
May have been the ultimate 60s rock and roll it girl. She quickly became the lover of one of the band's guitarists, Brian Jones, and then left him for Richards, with whom she had three children and shared an appetite for heroin. That's a pretty good sentence right there. While making the cult classic film Performance with Mick Jagger in 1968, she reportedly had an affair with him. The strikingly beautiful Miss Pallenberg had such a magnetic presence, quote, an evil glamour, in the words of Jagger's one-time paramour, Marianne Faithfull, that she was credited with helping mold the group's lasting image. Throughout the 1960s, Miss Pallenberg seemed to be everywhere. She grew up in Rome. She was an international model who spoke several languages. She was part of Andy Warhol's eclectic group of artists at the Factory in New York, where she became friendly with Beat Generation writers Allen Ginsberg and William Burroughs. She acted in films alongside Jane Fonda and Marlon Brando. And Marianne Faithfull described her as, quote, dazzling, beautiful, hypnotic, and unsettling. Other women evaporated next to her.
Wow.
Evaporated next to her. During a trip to Spain and Morocco in 1967, Keith Richards saw that Brian Jones was beating Miss Pallenberg. Richards took her back to England, leaving Jones stranded in North Africa. It's like, it said that I stole her, Richard wrote in his life, his 2010 autobiography. But my take is it that I rescued her. By the time Jones drowned in his own swimming pool at age 27 in 1969, Miss Pallenberg was pregnant with her first child with Richards. They named their son Marlon after Brando, with whom Miss Pallenberg appeared in a campy 1968 sex farce called Candy. They also had another child, a daughter called Dandelion. They named her Dandelion. And it said, Richards and Ms. Pallenberg never married, but their 12-year relationship was marked by heroin addiction, drug arrest, tempestuousness, and tears. Richards' mother decided Ms. Pallenberg was an unfit parent and raised their daughter, who dropped the name Dandelion, in favor of Angela.
This is That's crazy.
This is totally, totally crazy. Richards wrote in his autobiography, I like a high-spirited woman. And with Anita, you knew you were taking on a Valkyrie, she who decides who dies in battle.
Oh my God. That is amazing.
Okay. Raise your hand if you're glad you never met her because she's too scary.
Yes.
God. Way too scary, Anita Pallenberg. Anyway, I said I would get to this. The Washington Post has reported late last night and early today that, in fact, Donald Trump, not in contradistinction to what James Comey said, because at that time was not being investigated. But the Post is going with the fact that he is now being investigated for the possibility of obstruction of justice. Now, I hasten to say that this means it's very possible he is not obstructing justice.
Yeah,
I
investigating
mean, we're in the investigating stage. It doesn't mean that there's an automatic assumption that this was done, but it has to do with Comey and it has to do with Mueller. And your thoughts on this are?
So this takes the investigation, emphasis on investigation, into a place that it has not been prior, which is the Oval Office. This is Donald Trump, not Donald Trump's associates, not Donald Trump's top aides. Donald Trump is being investigated for obstruction of justice, which much of this ties to, it would appear, at least from what we know publicly, his attempts to talk to Comey about Michael Flynn. You know, Comey has testified under oath that he felt that Trump said to him, I hope you can find a way to drop this. Trump has said, I never told him to drop it. I never told him to end it. I never did anything like that. And then also reporting from the Post and CNN and others about conversations Trump allegedly had with the director of national intelligence, Dan Coats, the national security administrator, Mike Rogers, about, you know, hey, can we see a way to figure this all out? This is Trump doing it to himself.
But I watch a lot of TV, Chris. I watch a lot of TV.
You do?
And this comes up a lot. And almost every lawyer you see said, no, it's not really going to rise to that.
So,
not really going to.
You and I both share an affection for Jeffrey Toobin. Not just because he works with me at
he's
CNN,
really
but because
smart.
I just think he's really smart. He said after the Comey memo, after the Comey written testimony, which was last Tuesday, that he believed there would be a case for obstruction of justice. I don't know enough about that stuff. All we know now, Tony, is what you said, which is prior to James Comey being let go, that was May 9th, being fired. Donald Trump was not under any sort of, he was not the under any investigation. Today, according to the Washington Post, and I know the people who wrote this story, and then they're not going to, it seems very unlikely to me they would go with it if they didn't have it locked down. He is at least under investigation for obstructing this probe. He also is doing what he always does, which is tweeting. He sent two tweets out already this morning. Obviously, we're taping.
Witch hunt.
Calling it, yeah, I mean, I can, the first one was, they made up a phony collusion with the Russian story, found zero proof, so now they go for obstruction of justice on the phony story. Nice. That was number one. And number two is, you're witnessing the single greatest, all caps, witch hunt in American political history, led by some very bad and conflicted people. So, you know, he's doing what he does. He clearly views this as absolutely made up. I would remind people, Bob Mueller was the former head of the FBI. I mean, this is not just some. This is not a partisan.
Well, here's the political question that I have now. It was floated a couple of days ago by some of Trump's friends that he was thinking about firing Mueller.
Yes.
Okay. And immediately, people on both sides of the aisle, now mostly Democrats, but some Republicans as well, said that you can't do that.
Yep.
That's not the right way to go. If he finds himself, as it seems now, being backed further and further into a corner, is that, and he uses that option of firing Mueller, isn't that what we're talking, the spin-out effect of that? What is that?
And let me just ask as a corollary.
I mean, it's totally
if Prosecutor Mueller
obviously.
wants wants to talk to him.
Yep.
Can he be compelled to talk to prosecutors?
Is there executive privilege?
I don't
know
that
he
can be compelled to do so.
Okay, so Mueller could say, we have questions about this investigation, and he could say, I'm
well,
not talking.
Well, my I don't know is a legitimate I don't know, okay. Not a no.
Right.
I do not know the answer to that.
Okay.
It seems to me, if you're looking at the strategic leaking of information, which this latest thing to the Post clearly is.
Which Comey is a master at.
It seems to me that this is a way to up the ante to the point where firing Mueller would be even more political suicide. Because
terrible.
Now it's out there
terrible.
That Mueller is investigating Trump.
But that's his move, is to do that.
So now if Trump says...
Well, everyone says they want transparency in Washington. What could be more transparent than firing Mueller now?
He could do it, I guess, but then the echoes of Watergate and the Saturday Night Massacre would be everywhere. I mean, that's obviously what Nixon did and went down until he found someone at the Justice Department willing to do it. And
is
again,
Bork?
Bork, that's right. The person who would do this would normally be Jeff Sessions, but the Attorney General. But Jeff Sessions is recused. So it would be Rod Rosenstein.
Right.
Rod Rosenstein is the one who appointed Bob Mueller.
Right.
So it would be an odd reversal of view to suddenly say the guy that you appointed, we're now getting rid of him. Now, if Rosenstein didn't want to do it, he would have to resign because you have to, I mean, this is a direct ask. And then it would go down the chain, which is what happened in the Saturday Night Massacre. I still
and it would end up to somebody who basically works, I don't know, down the street at Saks.
I think we're a ways from that, but I do think that there's a lot of stuff that has come out over these first 140-something days where you're like, is this a big deal or is this not a big deal? This is a big deal. This is now about Donald Trump, not Donald Trump's associates. Now, it's an investigation, no conclusions drawn, but...
It's really amazing.
It is now reached into the Oval Office.
Yeah.
Which is, remarkable. Again, Donald Trump has been president for less than 150 days.
And by the way, what gets lost in all of this is the notion of what actually did or did not happen with the Russians. And that's just nobody's thinking about that now.
Well,
they're just thinking about playing defense on all the moves that are taking place.
And that's the other thing worth noting is, you know, the original federal investigation that Comey was leading was into Russian hacking into the election and potential collusion, though nothing proven, with the Trump campaign. We're now into a second sort of corollary of it, which is Trump's firing of Comey and what he did in and around that. So you now have these two sites.
And we talked about this very, very early on, that one of the things that Donald Trump did almost before he got in was insult the intelligence community.
Repeatedly.
And those guys, they've got the goods.
Mm-hmm.
They're sitting there. They just pull out the stuff from the drawer. They've got it. It's, you know... Don't mess with the Zohan, you know?
Yeah,
it's not
a good fight to pick.
It's not where you want to go. Can I just commend on the way out in the spirit of making things better, Sally Jenkins' column today.
Really good.
In which Sally argues that if you're invited to the White House, you should go to the White House if you're a sports team. And it was interesting to me to see Steph Curry, who had been very critical of Trump, as has his coach Steve Kerr. But Curry had been very critical of Trump. Curry, in talking about this, said, you know, I know what I said before. I haven't thought about it much since. We're all going to think about this as a team, and we hope to act professionally and responsibly. And when he used the words professionally and responsibly, it led me to believe that he might have second thoughts about this, and that indeed that team might visit the White House.
Sally's column makes a really wonderful point, which is failing to be a part of or interact with things with which you disagree is not necessarily the best lesson to learn in life.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, we'll take a break. We will come back with a jingle.
That's right.
And some email. We had very good email yesterday, and I only got to about half of it. And so we'll have that when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Extracting candy orange slice With drivers careening in to the bride.
Kirsten Ohnstadt singing Robert Berg, crazily writing there. It's just wonderful. Thank you so much for that. Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Steve Sands of NBC and the Golf Channel for coming on the show today. I also want to thank our sponsors, SeatGeek, Policy Genius, and Harry's Razors. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. From Rich Morikawa, you said Derek Jeter is boring. He played shortstop for the New York Yankees for 19 years. He won 5 World Series championships, and he was a World Series MVP. He dated Mariah Carey, model Bridget Hall, Miss Universe, Lara Dutta, Joy Enriquez, Jordana Brewster, Vanessa Minnillo, Jessica Alba and Jessica Biel, Scarlett Johansson, Minka Kelly,
yes,
the FHM Model of the Year, Vita Guerrera, and Victoria's Secret Model, Adriana Lima. My life should be so boring. All of our lives should be so boring.
Good point.
From Joe Farrell in Olney, Maryland. I paid thousands of dollars for my son Connor to attend all UPS, the University of Penn State, and take and pass his PGA exams. Also, he could deliver tribute to your golf hosts. The experts are correct. The American higher education system is broken. I'm going to complain to Steve Sands. From Rory O'Neill in Cleveland. For 2 years, I lived in Cyprus in the Mediterranean. Being a pale Irish guy, I basically melted like an ice cream cone on the 4th of July every day. Cyprus has a few nude beaches, and let me tell Ocean City some bad news. When you promote this, as Tori Clark poignantly mentioned, the bad bodies come in and let it all hang out. Yeah. The worst perpetrators in my experience were British pensioners on vacation who had reached the point of not giving a darn about what people think of their portly figures and lewd caricatures. Equally bad were the poses they would sleep in on the beach while nude. Message to Ocean City, watch out. From Sean Morrissey in Frederick, Maryland. Greetings, Doctor. On yesterday's show, you played a track by Grand Old Ditch. I got to see them perform at a birthday party in a barn in Cumberland, Maryland last year. Fantastic band. I was so happy to hear them on the show. Needless to say, there are plenty of chicken coops in the nearby vicinity. Also, regarding the burger conversation, the woman to whom I'm related by marriage has conditioned me to cut my burgers in half. This way we can sample each other's choices. It's at this point I realize I haven't enjoyed my own burger in 7 years. From Mike in Burke, Virginia. Not shocked to hear Jeannie say she always cuts her burgers in half, but of course, Jeannie's hamburger is cut in half with a touch of freshly ground black pepper and served on bone china on a dolly by a manservant named Joffrey. Don't you have the genteel burger on the chatter menu? From Marie Mosin in Asheville, North Carolina. Please tell Barry's Veluga that Starbucks has been purposely misspelling names as an advertising tactic. People will often post on social media their bungled names written next to the company's logo and sometimes discuss it for 5 minutes on a nominal sports broadcast that is heard around the world. Thanks for the laugh.
That is, I think, true, because a woman at my local Starbucks writes Christ on my cup over and over again, despite the fact that I'm clearly... Saying Chris. Chris.
Freudian slip.
Oh, there you go.
DJ Morosco, for celebrity server night at Chatter, can you have Ian Conn in full Washington costume and Tim Kirchin in full sausage costume waiting at tables?
Working
from Scott Feist, a master sergeant retired in the U.S. Air Force. The coin is presented. This is about challenge coins. The coin is presented to you. Once presented, you are supposed to carry it at all times. If someone produces their coin and drops it on the bar or table, they are challenging you to present your coin. If everyone has their coins, the person initiating the challenge has to buy all other coin holders a drink of their choice. If one of the people does not present their coin, they have to buy. Saw a $75 round once in Clinton, Maryland 20 years ago. A story about the coin. Once while a troop was in the shower, and a trooper, another went in and dropped his coin, knowing the troop in the shower did not have his since he was naked. Lo and behold, the guy in the shower produced his own coin as he had it hidden in a place on his body you will not mention.
Oh.
Scott Rex, Westerville, Ohio. Temperatures in central Ohio have risen to 90 degrees this week. Please tell Michael. So on Monday, I took my 5-year-old twin boys and their 10-month-old brother to a local splash park to cool off.
No.
The twins immediately took off to play with some other kids, leaving me to tend to the little guy. All is well until, like a tornado siren piercing the night, I hear the unmistakable shrill that is the voice of my 5-year-old son, Charlie. He's kind of clumsy. Is he hurt again? Are he and his brothers throwing punches at each other again? No and no. Turns out he's chasing a pack of kids through the park, screaming, "Come on, man. what we even doing out here, man, over and over and over again.
Smart kid.
Congratulations to you and the gang for apparently killing it with a soon-to-be-enrolled in kindergarten demographic.
The demo we're looking for.
Well, you know what? You can raise them and have them for the rest
of
their
army
lives.
Of them.
I don't have anything small enough to go to here. So I'm going to thank everybody for coming. Appreciate
thank you.
It. And if you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
But we don't have the chutzpah to do it.
The people.
We'll be right back.